Southern trees bear strange fruit. Blood on the leaves and blood at the root. Black bodies swinging in the southern breeze. Strange fruit hanging from the poplar trees.
Hello, that was Billie Holiday singing Strange Fruit. This is Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And this is Duke Gomez-Shemp.
And you're listening to KPPP-LPFM, broadcasting online through 365 Live. And soon you'll be able to find us at 88.1 on your FM dial, adding local color to your airwaves.
If you want to give us a message or say something about what we're producing or have an opinion, you can call 701-566-0917 and leave a message for us. Or you can tweet us at @media_PPP. Or you can contact Cindy at cindy@kpppfm.com or me, duke@kpppfm.com.
And today's topic is one that I've seen blowing up all over social media. We're talking about Bernie Sanders and Black Lives Matter. Specifically, we're going to be talking about the Seattle rally for Bernie Sanders that was interrupted by Black Lives Matter Seattle leaders. So we're going to talk about all of the things that people have said. Some of the complaints that people have about this is that they feel that the protesters were rude, that they may not even be part of the Black Lives Matter movement, that they may be sent by Hillary Clinton.
And boy, there's so many things to talk about with this because this is very, very timely. You know, it just happened and it's just blown up over the weekend with all sorts of perspectives and analysis, and I can't wait to dig into it.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of, you know, comments, questions about whether or not these folks handled things the right way, whether or not they're even real, their method has been questioned, their alliance to the Black Lives Matter movement has been questioned. And also there's been a lot of discussion about how all of this implies something about Democrats or something about the way the Black Lives Matter movement has been attacking Bernie Sanders and specifically or exclusively, many say. We'll talk about that too. We're going to dig deep and see how many of these questions and comments we can get to today. I want you to keep in mind all of this is happening in the wake of the anniversary of the killing of Michael Brown in Ferguson by Officer Darren Wilson.
Wow, it's been a whole year.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's amazing.
And that event kicked off lots of protests across the country. It has literally changed the dynamics of conversations about race in America. That event, that death. It wasn't an event. It was a death.
It was a very tragic death.
It wasn't tragic. It was a killing. It wasn't like an accident, like he fell down a mine shaft. He was shot.
Yeah.
He was unarmed and he was shot for walking in the middle of the street. And there was a lot of controversy during this remembrance, this anniversary protests that have happened across the country. And of course, this Black Lives Matter group stopping the rally because people, mostly white progressives, I have to say, although there's been a lot of black people that support Bernie that are also angry at these protesters. Basically, what they're saying is that this behavior is not productive to getting someone of value in the White House. So it's kind of like, well, you know, this is the best opportunity we have for a president that it's, many people said it like this. This is the only guy that isn't crazy. So,
well, it's always been the lesser of two evils when it comes to presidential elections.
Right. So you get a wackadoo, or you can pick
not so wackadoo person, but still wackadoo. I've worked on voter campaigns for at least four elections, and every time I'm selling people this great hope that this candidate's going to make some sort of difference if they get out and vote. And I've gotten lots of people to the polls. And to tell you the truth, every time whoever got elected, I always knew it wasn't really going to serve the people that I was trying to encourage to go out and vote, because it was mainly people of color, people with disabilities, what we call the disenfranchised. So, you know, I spent a lot of time doing that. And so it's hard for me to get excited about a presidential election. So, you know, it's like...
Yeah, I mean, I hear you. You know my pain. We're married. We've talked a lot about this. And I will talk more about the political process and how this sits in terms of the politics. These are all separate issues, I think, anyway.
Oh, definitely.
Maybe people disagree. I would like to hear more of what you guys think. We will share people's comments and discussions about this and other programs. We want to hear what you guys have to say. You can email me at cindy@kpppfm.com.
And you can email me, duke@kpppfm.com.
And you can also tweet us at @media_PPP. Or you can find us on Facebook and comment on the links that we share about the stories that we're talking about on air. Last show, we talked about the KKK or GOP hashtag that was trending during the GOP debates. And we also talked about the GOP debates. And recently, we've also talked about what white allies can do to step up their game. It was based on a Sally Cohen Washington Post article that she wrote about what white people can do to support Black Lives Matter movement, which maybe it would have been helpful for a lot of Bernie Sanders supporters to read.
Yeah, or the people at the rally.
Or the people at the rally, or maybe even Bernie Sanders.
Oh, yes.
Although, you know, Bernie has had a little bit of a history with the Netroots Nation debacle, where he was also interrupted by the Black Lives Matter leaders, and he did not do so well in handling. A lot of people feel he did not do well. People of color, people in the Black Lives Matter movement and their allies do not feel that Bernie handled it well. To his credit, however, he learned from that. He showed that he learned, and he responded in a way that was more of a change in his discussion about Black people and the violence that is visiting their lives. He mentioned Sandra Bland. He's been more vocal about Black Lives Matter and racial inequality in this country. But is it enough? That's the question that people are asking about his response to Black Lives Matter.
Is it enough, and is it fast enough?
Is it fast enough? Is it enough, period? And yeah. And how do we know? I'm going to tell you how I gauge whether or not people have got my best interest at heart. I'm sure it's pretty similar to the way all other people do, you know, gauge how someone has their best interest at heart or not. But I guess you'll have to listen in and see what you think. First, though, I wanted to actually play the clip from that Seattle rally so that we can kind of set up our discussion here. So this is a clip of Bernie Sanders when he first starts talking, and then two of the leaders of the Black Lives Matter Seattle movement. It's like a tongue twister.
Oh, yeah.
basically shout and get Bernie Sanders to stop speaking. Then he hands over the microphone to another gentleman. I'm sure one of his helpers or handlers or whatever. And this guy says, you know, they're going to shut it down instead. They're going to shut down the event instead rather than letting them speak. Although they do let them speak again later, and we'll share that clip later on. But first I want to play just a piece of when the, you know, altercation took place where he was stopped from speaking. Bernie was stopped from speaking. Go ahead.
Thank you, Seattle, for being one of the most progressive cities in the United States of America.
We want an opportunity to address.
Ask him.
Get him in check and we're shutting this event down now. If you do not listen to her, your event will be shut down right now. Your decision. Make a decision now.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won,
we will let, we will, no, we are going to, we are going to let you on the mic. Okay. Okay. All right, so we are trying to be reasonable. We are trying to be reasonable. We are trying to be reasonable.
We are reasonable.
We're going to give you, we're going to let you on the mic. We are going to give you the mic. We will, after Senator Sanders. After Senator Sanders. After Senator Sanders. After Senator Sanders. After Senator Sanders.
Do not tell me what to do.
After Senator Sanders.
Sit down.
After Senator Sanders. Okay. All right.
Let her speak.
All right.
Let her speak.
All right. We're shutting it down. You are shutting it down. You are disrupting this event. You are disrupting this event. We will.
No,
you are shutting it down. We are shutting.
Let her speak or we shut it down.
We will shut it down. You are shutting it down.
Wow. That sounded awful.
Yes, it did.
For everybody, I think, you know. I read on Facebook, there was a woman that was one of the organizers of this event, and her post was really great. I won't repeat it because it's really, really long. She had some really great points. And basically, she was saying how disappointed she was because there was thousands of people there. They waited. It was a hot day. There was a lot of waiting that they did before Bernie Sanders was going to speak. And people came from all over to hear Bernie speak at this event. The main issues that Bernie was going to be speaking on was Social Security and Medicare. And Bernie is known, Bernie Sanders is known for his economic prowess. He's really, that's his... He sticks to the numbers. He sticks to the economics. He talks about class. He talks about, you know, upward mobility of the middle class, and these kinds of things really sell well for the crowd where he lives in Vermont, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's his constituency. It's a very white, suburban, middle class type of a state. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, definitely know what you mean.
So how do you feel about that clip? What did you think when you were listening to that? Because I think that, you know, one of the things that was, it was sad that the people couldn't hear Bernie speak when they wanted to, that this disrupted the event, that they, you know, that they shut it down, whatever. What do you think about how it went down and what are your thoughts?
Well, I think it's, you know, first thing I thought of is that times have changed. I mean, they're especially in the past year. And I think people, especially people who are trying to speak to the people, trying to show that they actually have your best interests in mind, need to know we're in a different times right now. So if you're going to go do this rally and everything's staged and everything's timed, you know, I've done plenty of things where we've had to put people up on microphones and done these very staged events. And we can't expect that anymore. Really, when it comes to realness, okay, I'm coming to talk to you, telling you how real I am. Well, you better expect some realness in the situation, too. That's kind of my first reaction to it.
Yeah. Well, I, you know, it's a visceral. I have a visceral reaction because there's, you know, they're screaming. They're screaming at him. Did you see the one from Netroots Nation? That one wasn't, it wasn't that, it, there, you know, there was chanting. They interrupted the event. Mm-hmm. They kept chanting, and it made it impossible for them to speak.
Yeah, they wanted to be recognized.
They did want to be recognized. And the response to that from Bernie and from O'Malley. I mean, there was from the crowd and from Bernie Sanders himself, there was this sort of this disdain for the Black Lives Matter people. I can understand his frustration. He's on a schedule. He's doing a campaign. But if you're going to be the leader of America, then and this is the dying of Black people at the hands of police officers every day, is a national crisis.
You should take it very seriously.
You should take this very seriously. You mm-hmm. have to.
Yeah.
You. I mean, everyone is saying, well, everybody else is ignoring it. Yes, but do Black people have the right to demand to be heard?
Definitely. I believe so.
Why aren't they asking other people? It doesn't matter why you don't think that the way they're doing things is okay. They're doing what they think is most effective.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And when white people decide for people of color what's most effective for us, for our liberation, for our upward mobility, etc.,
mm-hmm.
y'all don't choose very well for us.
Well, even in the clip we just watched, it was, you can speak after Senator Sanders. You know, it's like, who knows where Senator Sanders was on the whole docket of people to speak. I'm sure they had speakers lined up.
Well, I think he was going to be the first to speak. He was going to start speaking right then.
Okay.
But you know what? It's irrelevant in my mind. That's not the point. The point is, and I'm not saying, you know, personally, if it had been me, I can't tell you how I would have felt because I wasn't there.
Yeah.
I can say that I have felt frustrated and angry. I'm not in the trenches. I'm not part of the Black community. They have suffered and continue to suffer a daily snub at the hands of police, at the hands of the justice system. Literally, their lives are being ignored, hence the Black Lives Matter movement.
Exactly.
Because their lives do not matter. Everything around them tells them their lives do not matter. Black August is coming up, hashtag Black August. So the remembrance, not only of Michael Brown's death, the remembrance of the fact that his life was left out for 4.5 hours, which I think was intended to terrorize people, to let people know that Black lives mean nothing, that they're not valued in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
I believe his body was then shoved in the back of an SUV rather than taken away in an ambulance.
Wow.
Rather than being put into, you know, any kind of appropriate vehicle for the transportation of a human. It wasn't like he was a bunch of soccer balls or roadkill. This is how his body was treated, with this disrespect.
Disrespect, yeah, definitely.
And see, the it's insult added to injury, that mm-hmm. kind of disrespect, and the tone deafness with which political candidates have approached these deaths, to the point where we haven't really had any discussions among our political candidates, even amongst our president. When death of Eric Garner occurred, New York Mayor Bill de Blasio said that there was a tragedy.
Yeah.
When the two New York cops were killed shortly thereafter, he said that the attack against those officers was an attack against everyone. He called the person murderer. There was no alleged nothing. There was the murderer, blah, blah, blah. He called it a murder. So it's very different in the way that we see political leaders, from the president on down, talking about the taking of Black lives versus the taking of white lives or police officer lives.
And so when it comes to someone actually having access to the politicians, I mean, the old protocol is trying to get in.
Who has access to politicians?
Like, white people and the people that are helping them get elected, the people that are their right-arm people.
Yeah, because I want to start there. Who has access to the politicians? Lots of people are saying, how come these people are not doing the same thing to Hillary Clinton? How come they're not doing the same to any of the Republican candidates? what kind of access?
Who's making them any promises? Who's actually saying anything that would actually show people in the community that they, you know, people of color in the community, that they're actually going to fight for the issues that are important to communities of color? There are no candidates saying that.
Actually, there is. Bernie Sanders.
Bernie Sanders, yes.
And if you're going to talk big, you better walk.
Yeah, you better walk the talk,
you
Bernie.
Better walk the talk, Bernie, because we're going to check.
Mm-hmm.
We need to know whether or not you're for real.
You got to be held accountable for what you say. And if you're saying stuff that's supposed to inspire people, those people have every right to come and hold you accountable and make sure you're doing what you say you're going to do.
And here's the thing. White progressives have been getting a pass for far too long. Y'all have been doing all of this self-aggrandizing, patting yourselves on the heads, giving each other awards.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
For doing liberal social justice work that really just pays lip service. I mean, most allies like to stick to bringing awareness of an issue rather than changing the goalpost,
that's
you know,
right.
Moving us ahead.
Well, we're told that changing the thinking is a first start, but, you know, action is what's really the first start.
We've been stuck on start for 400 years now.
Yes.
This is enough of mm-hmm. people of color dying at the hands of white supremacy
mm-hmm.
for white supremacy in this country. And that's what it boils down to.
It does.
These are modern day lynchings. These are executions without due process of any sort. How is that different from the lynchings of the past? It really isn't. If you know, black people are getting murdered by police at the same rate that they were being lynched at the time of the Jim Crow era.
Wow, that's huge.
Yeah, and the quality of their income, their amassing of wealth, hasn't changed either. A lot of this is covered in the Atlantic's Ta-Nehisi Coates's A Case for Reparations, a fantastic, very long, very worth reading piece that he did about the case for reparations in America. And he really details the plight of Black people in America and how it has really never changed for them. And I believe that this is the point of the outrage, the crying out to these leaders to say, we want change, we demand change now.
And it's new tactics. It's the tactics that are going to try to be effective. They're true tactics. When it comes to this country and the different style of protesting, I think in the past probably 15 or 20 years, there's been a style of protest. It's kind of like just doing a parade. There haven't been a well-organized push of the people that are oppressed with their allies next to them fighting for change. It's been spent mostly about putting attention towards the issue. It's a very early Alinsky style of organizing. It's the first step in doing an issue campaign is putting attention towards the issue. I think mainly white people who have been part of any sort of resistance have gotten really used to being parade marchers.
The most effective civil rights groups, which were incidentally disbanded and attacked by COINTELPRO and attacked by the FBI, were the Black Panthers, the Brown Berets, the AIM movement.
They were all indigenous people of color led organizations and movements.
And they were considered and talked about as if they were terrorist groups. And guess what the government is doing? They are monitoring the Black Lives Matter movement. They have been monitoring the Black Lives Matter movement.
It's disgusting. I actually read about that also, where they're using these storage facilities that NSA uses that pretty much record all of our telephone calls, all of our emails, all of our podcasts, everything we do, and they put in a database. And they've been taking anything connecting to Black Lives Matter and following individuals and just watching what they do, what they're planning. They're basically looking at all the information and they're doing like they're spying on specific individuals.
Yeah, it's really creepy. And it's totally counterproductive. What we should be putting our time and effort into is collecting the data on how many police shootings happen. We have 18,000 plus police departments in this country, and out of those, only 1,500 or so report to the FBI on a voluntary basis the number of justified, quote unquote, justified shootings that are taking place in this country. A large portion of what has been tracked is people of color, disproportionately people of color. The outcomes, not only in mass incarceration, in the number of people that are killed in accidents involving police who are chasing other people, and the number of people that are going into prison, or the number of people that are not graduating from high school, it's all disproportionately people of color. It's a problem that whoever becomes president can no longer ignore.
That's right. That's right.
And this country is a powder keg.
Mm-hmm.
There have been nonstop protests and riots and massive massacres, movements to remove racist memorabilia. We've seen the KKK and neo-Nazi groups more prominent in this country right in this time in history than I had seen in all of my childhood growing up.
Me also. And I'm older than you. And I grew up in North Dakota.
So. And that's just really weird for me, because I'm like, how did we go backwards in time? Did we get in a time machine and travel backwards? Now there's like people, you know, proudly waving Confederate flags and making monkey noises at black people and calling people animals, and we have police in riot gear shooting rubber bullets and shooting into crowds with women and children.
We have tanks in our streets. We have army vehicles that the law enforcement is all geared up, and they're waging war on the community. I mean, things have totally changed from when I was a child.
What do people expect? Are we supposed to continue to act as if the world isn't crumbling down around our ears? Maybe the only sane people are the people that are screaming at these rallies. Maybe the only people that are sane in this country are those that are screaming at the top of their lungs, "We're mad as hell and we're not going to take it anymore."
And I think that the people are stepping up, and they're going to take an opportunity to be heard, because there's not one afforded to people of color in the way things have been going, obviously.
You know, and there was another young man that was killed. It's not Tracy Chapman. It's something else. I can't remember his name.
Oh, boy. Can't help
he's
you
a new. Him. He's the new hashtag. He had just been tweeting about how he didn't want to die, along with a lot of the Black Lives Matter movement hashtags that were, you know, Black Lives Matter hashtag, and the and yet another death when Sandra Bland was killed, and there was that hashtag that was trending about if I die in police custody. So a lot of people were saying, you know, I don't want to die. I don't, you know, if I die in police custody, please know that I didn't kill myself. I didn't commit suicide, things like that. And he had tweeted that he was afraid for his life, and now he's dead, and he died at the hands of police. They claim that he crashed his car into, this is a football college student, he's a football player, and he is he's got his own car. I don't know if it was new. I think they said in the story it was new, and they apparently, the police are saying that they had to kill him. He was unarmed, by the way. They had to kill him because he crashed his car into a dealership in order to steal a car.
That doesn't make any sense.
It makes about as much sense as Sandra Bland eating a bunch of pot 2 or 3 days in just before killing her, committing suicide by hanging herself.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense
either. It's like, what? It reminds me of the Dave Chappelle show clip where the cops is like, they sprinkle crack on black people.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like, just sprinkle some crack on him. And then everyone, because white people believe that. Oh, see, he was a thug.
Yeah. Yeah,
he was a criminal. We knew it.
Our media does that all the time. They always demonize the victims of any sort of crime, especially if they're people of color. Then we're going to know that they had some sort of some sort of arrest record, or they did something, or they took their trash out on a Wednesday instead of a Tuesday. You know, there's some menace to society, but they're dead.
Mm-hmm. And so it's very effective. The media crucifies them. The people in their comment sections of their stories crucify them again. Dead people can't talk. So there's no way they can defend themselves against these types of lynchings of their character after they're dead.
Yeah.
So we're going to be talking, if you just tuned in, we're talking about Bernie Sanders being interrupted by the Black Lives Matter leaders in Seattle at his rally. This is all happening around the time of the anniversary of the death of Michael Brown, the one-year anniversary. We are in hashtag Black August. You're going to be hearing a lot about Black Lives Matter stuff happening. Bernie Sanders was also interrupted before at the Netroots Nation event. And this is not making Bernie look good to people of color. Let me just say that. People of color are upset about the way that Bernie is dealing with the civil rights people, the civil rights moment.
I don't blame the activists. I blame Bernie. I agree with you. Bernie needs to be blamed for his behavior and his actions and his responses and what he's going to say and do. I mean, he's supposed to be this person who is so different than everybody else. He needs to act different and react different also.
Whoa. Now you don't have to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
No, I suppose. I just kind of getting mad because the things you're saying make so much sense to me.
I know, but listen, Mr. Liberal Progressive White Dude. Excuse me if I remind you of how obtuse you have been when you haven't understood an issue from my perspective.
That's very true.
You must allow people to listen and respond. And from what I can tell, Bernie has been doing that. I think we need to cut him a break on that count, okay?
All right.
I feel we got to cut Bernie a break on that count. We got to give credit where credit is due, and there it is.
I apologize, Bernie.
That is something that Bernie is due. He's due that credit. He's a person that listens to the public and responds. He didn't respond immediately well. You know what? If someone was screaming up in my face, if somebody interrupted one of my events, I might not initially respond the very best way.
Okay, that makes sense.
And I will say that for not just Bernie, but also the Black Lives leaders in Seattle. And they're screaming up in Bernie's face and other people's faces. The way that he handled himself afterwards, where he apologized and said, "This is important. I'm going to listen." And he started doing something.
Yeah.
That was classy.
That's true.
That was classy. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of leader that all of us can get behind.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And that's what the Black Lives Matter leaders in Seattle should do. Not because they feel that they should silence their voices or because they were wrong or because they should be tone policed or because they don't have a right to be righteously outraged at the loss of deaths. Not because I agree that the people in the crowd should have been booing them. Not because of any of those things. Simply because if you want to really engage with someone that is showing you, not with words, not with lip service, but showing you a concerted effort to actually do the things you're asking them to do, maybe not right then and there, but they're doing something afterwards to show they're picking up the slack. People have a learning curve, white people especially.
I'm glad you said that. That actually gives me a lot more to think about. And this has happened so fast. I
saw how you reacted when with someone on our Facebook page. I won't say who, but you know who I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, I definitely do.
And I had to take you aside and go, "Now listen, it's easy to get on the high horse now when you can look at the background of all of the things that are happening from your 2020 hindsight."
Exactly.
Being where you are, in this family where you have a constant analysis of race.
That's true.
Where folks like Bernie haven't had to do that mm-hmm. all the time
mm-hmm.
to the crowds. He might have that analysis in his head, but he obviously hasn't been running with that platform and he hasn't been putting it front and center.
Well, he's getting plenty of practice right now, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. More than he ever wanted.
That's right.
When we come back from our break, we're going to talk more about Bernie Sanders, how he felt. You know, I'll tell you what kind of disappointment he expressed about what happened at the Black Lives Matter protests. And then we're going to get into some of the comments from our listeners and from the Twitter sphere and the social media and the internet and the interwebs and such. But first, we're going to have a musical break. Them, Us by Sidewalk Chalk. You're listening to KPPP LPFM.
Screens was to take up arms to protect his family from lawless mobs of black kids. Take up arms like that FBI informant Richard Aoki told Huey Newton and Bobby Seale, founders of the Black Panther Party. Take up arms before you take this iconic photo. But see, from that point on, one point out of their 10-point program would forevermore define them. Not freedom, not education, not employment, not housing, not free breakfast for kids, not even reparations, but arms. And now we see them taking up arms in Ferguson. Hands held higher than heads for Mike Brown, who right now looks like every black or brown kid. He certainly looks like me. And I've debated whether or not to blame my doppelgangers for every time I was stopped by a cop who thought I was a robber, a gangbanger. Apparently, I fit a description given by a witness who would prefer to remain nameless as I heard the same statement.
We've had a disturbance in the neighborhood.
I was a disturbance to the neighborhood.
with some hood at the neighbors. I think it's from some neighboring hood or block. Wonder why I cringe at the word neighborhood watch. When a flip of a switch is all it takes for good cops to become killer cops. A good protester to start screaming, kill the cops! Will it stop? I say yes when I'm feeling optimistic. Cause opposition of opposition is not a given. For some reason, all we hear is them, us, them, us, them, us, them. All we hear is,
hey.
All we hear is them, us, them, us, them, us, them. All we hear is,
why?
We must do better at loving each other. That was Sidewalk Chalk, Them and Us. And this is Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And this is Duke Gomez-Shemp.
And you're listening to KPPP LPFM, broadcasting online through 365 Live. Soon you can find us on your radio dial at FM 88.1, adding local color to your airwaves.
If you want to call us and leave a message or give us a comment or give us an idea, you can call us at 701-566-0917. Or you can tweet us at @media_PPP. You can email Cindy at cindy@kpppfm.com or email me, duke@kpppfm.com.
Mm-hmm. Now let's jump back into the topic of today, which is Bernie Sanders and the Black Lives Matter movement that interrupted in Seattle during a rally where he was going to be talking about Social Security and Medicare. And people are really, really upset about this interruption. And we were talking about how that has really divided people on both sides of, even in the progressive camp. Bernie was really upset about what happened at this event. I think he genuinely wants to address these issues. Who knows what he would have done or said about this, but this is what he said. I'm disappointed that two people disrupted a rally attended by thousands at which I was invited to speak about fighting to protect Social Security and Medicare. Bernie said in a written statement, I was especially disappointed because on criminal justice reform and the need to fight racism, there is no other candidate for president who will fight harder than me. Hmm. And, you know, this is what I have to say to that. I don't doubt that that's true, even for a second.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the point. The point is not whether or not he's the only one that's even going to talk about this, or he's going to be the best one or the nicest one. The point is that we've had candidate after candidate, politician after politician, president after president, mm-hmm. even Barack Obama, our black president.
Exactly.
Who have done nothing about this.
Mm-hmm.
We had an attorney general that was black. Eric Holder, we have another one that is black now. Marsh, what's her name?
Darn it. Oh, boy. You know, when you call on me for remembering things, it's just your worst bet. You know, just Google it, please. You know, use the Google. You know?
All right. I will use the Google. But my point is this. We have black leadership, and they're not changing the problem. We heard all sorts of promises. Mexicans were told by Barack Obama he was going to give us relief and they were going to change immigration reform, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. We've gotten really nothing. That he's made an agreement, or he's made a suggestion, I suppose,
mm-hmm.
which is what his order, his executive order amounts to. It doesn't change immigration policy or law.
Plus, it's all tied up in the court system anyway, so nothing's happened.
Nothing's happened. So we've gotten a lot of lip service from candidates in the past. The fact that Bernie Sanders could talk about Black Lives Matter right from the very beginning and stand on his head while doing it and juggling doesn't mean he's actually going to do anything about it. The proof will be in the pudding.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that getting him to talk about it, that getting him to acknowledge Black Lives Matter leaders in this climate, when it should be so obvious that he should embrace these people and put this issue in his platform immediately and start talking about it very, very publicly, is kind of a misstep for him. It's kind of like a wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, and he's responding like a politician. I mean, what you just read is his response, and his, you know, he's saying that I have these things in me that I'm going to cover and I stand for, and I'm very disappointed that this happened. And it's like, it makes sense that he said that, but part of me is like, again, this is different. This is different, Bernie. Different things are happening. There needs to be different reactions and actions.
And a lot of people said, you know, what is the point of doing this? They're just hurting their cause. This is the only person that's going to help them. Basically, Bernie seems to be saying the same thing. I'm the only one that's going to help you. Why are you doing this to me? But, you know, at the end of the day, after the Netroots Nation thing, he started talking about Black lives being taken. He mentioned Sandra Bland by name.
Mm-hmm.
He actually started sounding less like a person that was going to focus on white middle class issues and more like a person that was going to be a candidate that was going to speak to the issues of all Americans, including Black Americans, including Latino Americans, Asian Americans, etc. And after this event, he announced, or it was announced in an article, we'll have the link up on kpppfm.com, along with this podcast,
mm-hmm.
That he hired Simone Sanders, who is Black. She is a criminal justice advocate, and she's also a supporter of the Black Lives Matter movement. And I would say that was a win.
Yeah, that sounds like what a great response. I mean, that's definitely, I think, progress in what we've seen, you know. And
but no progress in this country has ever been won by Black people simply because they did what politicians and white people told them to do and wait for a better time.
That's true.
That has never, ever happened.
No.
I mean, in his letter from the Birmingham jail, MLK said that the white moderate was probably the worst thing for Black people. He said that he thought that they might be worse than the Ku Klux Klanner. Why? Because they pretend.
Yeah.
It's in just, essence,
mm-hmm.
that they stand up for our rights, that they believe in our cause, but they don't agree with the methods by which we go about attaining our freedom, our liberation.
Mm-hmm.
And how is that really that different from what's happening in this response from white, not just Bernie Sanders, but from his supporters? How is that different from the response of the government and the media and the police in this country with regard to the demands from people of color wanting to stop dying?
Exactly. And people of color have been making demands since day one. And as white people, we've been deaf to those demands. And again, this is a new time. This is a new time to take different approaches. It's time for white people to be able to let down that guard and actually listen and be with the change that needs to happen now.
Well, I'm going to go into some of the comments. This one was sent to us from one of our listeners, and her name is Anna Louise Renner. She wanted to really express how upset she was about what happened with this Bernie Sanders thing and understand what's going on. I'm trying to understand this from the Black Lives Matter point of view, since I am a Black Lives Matter supporter and a Sanders supporter. Isn't what the Black Lives Matter folks are doing with the Bernie Sanders campaign helping him and his campaign take responsibility for his civil rights work and do something about it today? Yes, I'm going to answer that right now. Yes, I think that is, and it's working. My first reaction, she goes on, admittedly, the white privilege part of my mind was, why are they doing this to him when he's probably the only one running that isn't insane and he does have a record of working to help civil rights? I had to stop myself and really think about my reaction. It's one thing to have a past record of it and to say that he's going to support it, but I don't know if he actually has introduced any recent legislation or even has spoken about or acted to put the Black Lives Matter movement center stage and give it the importance that it should have. Part of me wants to say, what about the racist Republican candidates? Why aren't they being protested and their stages taken over? I suppose they are a lost cause, and that the actions the Black Lives Matter folks have taken has most likely had an effect on Sanders. I think it must. His campaign seems to be moving to address this and incorporate the Black Lives Matter movement and its supporters more going forward. I just hope he really means it. I hope Sanders or someone really likes the Black Lives Matter movement to heart. I hope I'm not so naive. I hope the recent changes in the Sanders campaign are not just a ploy to get votes. Excellent comment. Thank you for your comments. We really appreciate them. Tell people how they can get a hold of us and share their questions or comments with us.
You can go to the KPPP FM.com website, and you can listen to a podcast, and you actually comment on the podcast
right there on
right
the page.
Right there on the page. You can also go to Live and On Air, and you can find our podcast there and actually see if we're broadcasting live.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to call, you can call us and leave a message at 701-566-0917. You can also tweet us at @media_PPP, or you can even go back to email, and you can email Cindy at kpppfm.com or me, Duke, at kpppfm.com.
Here's another comment from the interwebs, this one from Pari Patel. When you let wild animals out of their cages, that's what you get. Please keep these animals in the hood where they belong.
Oh,
thanks.
Jeez. Delete that one. That was very disrespectful.
That one is awful. But see, this is the kind of thing that's kind of scary when you hear the response from Bernie Sanders support. These are some Sanders supporters.
Yeah.
Saying, that's what you get when you let the animals out of the cage? Ouch. That doesn't sound that different from the people on Fox News to
me. Mm-hmm.
How, I don't know. What do you think?
Oh, I think it's totally derogatory. And I also think the problem is that when a candidate's trying to have this broad base of progressives and liberals, and we as progressive and liberals, as white people that are progressive and liberal, haven't really taken the time to really become anti-racist and to be allies of people of color. So you're going to have some of the issues met for some people and then not for others. And we're supposed to kind of weigh it out and to take the one that's the heaviest and say, well, we're doing good. We got the best show in town, but it's not covering everything we need. And I think that's a big mistake.
Here's another one from Carol Ann Keltner. I think this person is spot on. The three women who rudely disrupted Bernie should be ashamed of themselves. They were not there to help their cause. They were there to get their faces in the news and bleep people off. Wouldn't be surprised if they were paid by some opposition group. You think they were paid by some opposition group? People are calling Soros and the Hillary camp. There's all sorts of...
The Republicans planted them in there.
A lot of theories right now, conspiracy theories that are kind of wild about this. I'm like, wow.
I think it misses the point again. I mean, you've got to suspend judgment and actually look at what's going on. We're living in times that they need new methods. They need new tactics. If we're going to do things the way we always did before, remember that Bush stole the election because we did things the way they were done before, and Gore never actually got to presidency, which he actually won.
And, you know, it's true. Bernie Sanders has a record of being involved with civil rights actions, talking about poor people, talking about access to education, and I get that. But you also have to remember that other people marched alongside MLK that today are, you would consider, Republican, right-wing, non-supporters of the Black Lives Matter group. So the fact that action took place We need to see live action now in the present from our political candidates. Here's a comment from Brandon Sams. This is based on a response to an article where a black man criticized the Black Lives Matter movement, saying, "You don't speak for all of us." And this is what Brandon Sam said. "The irony, sir, you don't speak for the majority either. Also, Black Lives Matter has never alluded that they speak for the majority. In fact, that's the complete antithesis of their message. They speak for the minority, the oppressed, the unheard. You, sir, and all these faux progressive neoliberal white people who see Bernie Sanders as the second coming of Jesus Christ need to study up some more." and then this guy named Russ says, "By all means, pontificate more on what allies should be doing in the struggle," meaning white allies.
Yeah.
And then Brandon Sims does, and he says, "Oh, Russ, I will, because the supposed allies who have been railing against the movement since Netroots are not at all allies. They're what we call fair-weathered friends."
Oh yeah.
"And frankly, no one likes those." Mm-hmm. "If you need a refresher course on allyship, don't worry, boo. I got you." Mm-hmm. And then there's this great picture of what allies, I'll tell you what the allies' do's and don'ts are. How to be an ally. Do, listen. Do, help amplify the voices of those you profess to support. Do, have empathy and acknowledge your privilege. Don't get defensive or make everything about you. Don't talk over them or hijack the conversation. Don't act dismissive or about other people's lived experiences.
Those are six really good things to pay attention to. We did a whole podcast about this, but I never knew there was just a little chart I could look at, because I'm guilty of breaking some of these, and I know when I am, and I need to stop doing that.
Yeah, and you know, I understand, as I said, I get why people feel like this. Bernie Sanders is a breath of fresh air in an otherwise very stuffy room.
Yeah,
filled with really very frightening candidates like Trump and things like that.
Exactly.
You guys should know, though, that Black Lives Matter went through a great deal of trouble to purchase billboard space all around where they were holding those first GOP debates to bring attention to the Black Lives Matter movement and the deaths of Black people, in the hopes that the candidates would spend more than a passing breath on the topic. But that didn't happen. And the kind of security I'm sure that they had at that event was immensely different than the kind that Bernie Sanders have. And let me just say this. Bernie is inviting, he's selling himself as the man, people of the president of the people, right? The candidate of the people.
Yes, yes.
He's a man of the people.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to act like they did at the Republican National Convention in Minneapolis, where they give you your free speech space that's way over there. You can protest, half a block away from them.
And they had military surrounding the whole place, you know.
Right? So, yeah, that's really welcoming. I mean, it feels like a military state or something. It feels like a police state. And there's no warm feeling of, oh, yeah, these people are here because they want to hear from me. But Bernie is running on that platform. He wants to hear. He's going to be representing those poor, downtrodden, right?
Yes. So that's a really good point you just made, because you know, how fortified was their rally? You know, it was open to the people. I mean, that's a very good point compared to the actual debate, or pretty much where any Republican candidates go. There's security and all sorts of people armed up, ready to stop anyone from getting in there that they don't want to let in.
And think about this. Hillary Clinton, you really think that the former First Lady and current Secretary of State, right? She's not going to have a detail of the Secret Service on her at all times?
Well, sure, Secret Service, of course. She was a
You can't just run up on Hillary Clinton and grab the microphone from her hand. Somebody can shoot you.
Yeah, that's right.
or tase you or something.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, these folks are going to the people that are saying, hey, it's like if you say, hey, I want to help Native American people and I want to listen to their issues, and they hear that and they show up at one of your events, and then they say, we want you to talk to us right now. We have an emergency situation. Our people are dying. I don't know if you've seen this. And then they go, sorry, we don't have time to talk to you.
Yeah, we'll put you
You're being rude right now. There's a way of asking for time to talk to us. But you wouldn't do that to your own child, would you?
No, no, you would not.
If they came in and said, we're dying. We need your attention right now. Now, Timmy, calm down. Lower your voice.
Mm-hmm.
Use your inside voice.
I'm not going to listen to you until you start talking softly.
And they're screaming, somebody's coming after me. We're going to die. I need your help. And okay, well, you know, if you're going to have that tone, I'm just not going to even listen.
That's right.
It's a very cavalier attitude to an emergency that America has ignored for too long. And it isn't something that we can fix by pretending that as long as Bernie says a few right things and does a few right things, is going to be solved.
That's right.
This is a much bigger issue to unpack than we can do in our show. We want to hear the kinds of things you have to say about this. We can talk more about this and other political campaigns that are being run in this country and what we would like to see and hear from those candidates. But for now, we're going to leave today's topic on Bernie Sanders and Black Lives Matter. We hope to hear more from you guys in the future. You can leave us a message at 701-566-0917. Tweet us at media_PPP. You can leave a message for Duke at duke@kpppfm.com or cindy@kpppfm.com. We're going to leave you with Which Side Are You On? A remix by Rebel Diaz.
Which side are you on, boy? Which side are you on, no matter what? Which side are you on, boy? Which side are you on?
See, I gotta draw a line, I can't take it no more. If you ain't down with revolution, what you waiting for? Making money for suckers and not communities poor. Ripping flags off of coffers, man, this ain't our war. Colonized and terrorized by the world's biggest killers. The US government, the biggest weapon and drug dealers. Filling prisons with children, incarcerating the future. MySpace and Facebook got us stuck on computers. Stuck on stupid bumping music that's abusive to the shorties. And the nonsense that you're spitting, they just listen and absorbing. I've been dormant, I've been working. I'm a giant, I'm ready. I'm with the Apple and Oaxaca, and we hold the machetes. I rock hard like Palestinian children holding slingshots. I'm with every single kid that's down for hip hop. For the culture, the life, what it really stands for. This music is resistance, it's the voice of the poor. I'm on the side of the workers, the teachers, the lunch ladies. On the streets with brown mommies, raising out brown babies. I'm with youth organizers, cleaning up the Bronx River. I'm like Jaime Escalante when I stand and deliver. I'm with Evo Morales, man, he running Bolivia. Distribution of the land so we can all live bigger. I'm with Hugo and Fidel, Grandmaster and Melly Mel. I'm with the Panthers up in Queens, justice for Sean Bell. I'm with Camacho Negron, I'm with Ojeda Rios. Freedom for Oscar Rock, it's time to get in the field. I'm with a Blue Jamal, I'm with a Sada Shakur. I'm with the compas in the mall, got you getting a penny more.
Tell them the truth.
exposing the lies. Think about the dead soldiers when you're driving your ride. When people die for the war, and Daddy Bush is revenge. I'm with the widows, the children, and the lonely best friends. I'm for families staying together as one. I'm not for the raids and the deportations. I'm with Victor Toro and the MIR. So watch out for them snitches in their unmarked car. And for Lil Solito, we gon' fight for your moms. So we gon' shout her out twice in one song. I'm for 12 million workers and El Vida Ariano. For a world without borders and a better tomorrow.
Stop, man. Stop, stop, stop.